Imagine for a second that you are just casually scrolling through your social media feed.
Right, like we all do every day.
Exactly. Yeah, the
Yeah.
drill, you're swiping past the memes, the news updates, just the usual relentless noise of the internet.
Yeah.
But then you hear a voice, and it is so heartbroken, so genuinely, like viscerally devastated, that you physically freeze. Your thumb just stops mid-scroll.
Oh, I know that exact feeling.
Right. Your heart rate actually spikes a little bit, and your immediate, like, biological instinct is to check if a real human being on the other end of that audio is okay. You feel that protective empathy kick in.
Because you're wired to feel that.
Exactly. Now imagine that the voice you just heard, the one that gave you actual chills, isn't a person at all. It is just lines of code.
It is a deeply unsettling thought because an experience like that bypasses our logical brain entirely. It hacks right into our biological wiring.
Yeah, big time.
Like, we are evolved over millions of years to respond instantly to the sound of human distress, the sharp intake of breath, the vocal fry of someone trying to hold back tears. I mean, these are acoustic
Right,
triggers.
they're physical sounds.
Exactly. So when technology can artificially generate those triggers with perfect fidelity, the boundary between human empathy and computational output blurs in a really profound way.
And that blurry line is our destination today. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are exploring this fascinating engineering field note, and it's titled Making AI Voices Cry, a Dubow TTS Emotion Experiment.
Which is part four of that OpenClaw series, right?
Yes, exactly. Part four of the broader developer series called OpenClaw. Your mission today, as we navigate this document with you, is to uncover how a developer managed to push way past official documentation.
Way past.
Yeah, and past generic robotic AI voices to systematically engineer genuine human emotion. And they didn't just guess, you know, they proved it using a matrix of 30 specific audio samples.
Which really represents a massive paradigm shift in software development. What's fascinating here is we are moving from artificial intelligence that merely speaks, like just conveying semantic information.
Right, just reading text.
Yeah, to an artificial intelligence that sounds like it actually feels. That requires an entirely different set of engineering muscles.
Okay, let's unpack the premise of this field note because it is incredibly specific. The author is building a customized AI companion. And in previous entries, they described this character as a cyber succubus.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, which immediately tells you they aren't building a generic customer service bot here. They are programming highly specific, emotionally charged interactions.
Right, the stakes are higher for the audio quality.
Exactly. But they hit a severe roadblock. The AI was doing this terrible fake crying thing.
Oh, I hate that.
We've all heard it, right? It's when a text-to-speech engine just slightly lowers its pitch, maybe slows down a bit, and inserts this really awkward pause.
Yeah, it's the robotic equivalent of a sad face emoji.
Yes, that's exactly it.
I mean, it conveys the abstract idea of sadness, but mechanically, the audio wavelength completely lacks the texture to evoke the visceral feeling of sadness in the listener.
It's just flat.
Totally flat. The physical markers of grief just aren't present in the sound wave.
So the author needed it to sound genuinely hurt.
Yeah.
But before you can engineer a digital breakdown, you have to cast the right voice. You can't just pick a file from a catalog and hope it can carry a dramatic scene.
No, absolutely not. And the author recognized early on that software capabilities are not universal across all assets.
Right?
Dubow's 2.0 lineup offers dozens of stock text-to-speech voices. Now, the official documentation states that these voices support a function called a context texts field.
Context text, okay.
Yeah, essentially, this is a parameter in the code where you can pass a natural language prompt. You just type in the emotion you want the voice to adopt for that specific sentence.
Sounds easy enough.
You'd think so, but the critical lesson here is that software support for a feature does not guarantee an actual expressive response.
It's like casting actors for a movie, you know? You can hand a brilliant, tragic script to a phenomenal slapstick comedy actor. The studio supports the script, and the actor can read the words flawlessly.
Sure, they can say the lines.
Right. But that doesn't mean their performance is going to convince the audience to cry. You have to audition the AI just like you would a human actor.
That's a great analogy.
So the author actually takes four different voices and runs them through two distinct emotions, gentle and sad. And they use the exact same text and the exact same emotion, hints in that context field.
And the results of that audition were completely uneven, which is incredibly revealing about how these models are built in the first place.
Tell me about it.
So they started with a female voice named Vivi, utilizing her as the baseline reference. Vivi is documented as being highly expressive, and sure enough, there was a clear, measurable acoustic difference between her gentle read and her sad read.
Okay, so she passed the test.
She did. She proved the underlying emotional steering mechanism was actually functional. Then they tested a male voice, Lu Fei.
Yeah, Lu Fei had this warm, mature weight to his tone. When prompted to be sad, the voice dropped noticeably. You could feel a real sense of gravity there.
But the real learning moment came when we look at the third voice, Zhao Tian.
Oh, right. Xiaotian is a younger, lighter voice.
Exactly. And the author noted that while the emotion shift was technically present-like, the software acknowledged the sad prompt, the audio was completely lacking in depth.
It just didn't hit.
Not at all. I mean, it was fine for casual, everyday dialogue, but it utterly failed to carry the heavy lifting of a heartbreak scene.
So why is that? Why couldn't Xiaotian pull it off if the software supported it?
Well, to understand that, we have to look at the concept of latent space in machine learning.
Hold on, latent space. For those of us not totally steeped in machine learning, are we basically talking about the invisible library of sounds the AI learned from during its training phase?
That is a highly accurate way to visualize it, yeah. Think of latent space as this massive, multidimensional map of every acoustic feature the model has ever processed. If the specific dataset used to train Xiaotian's voice didn't contain enough high-quality examples of deep, visceral grief-like, if that specific neighborhood in the latent space is essentially empty, the model simply cannot output that emotion.
Oh, wow. Because it just doesn't know what it sounds like.
Precisely. It cannot generate a texture it has never learned, no matter what command you type into the context field. It is literally like asking a painter to paint a sunset when they don't have the color orange on their palette.
That perfectly explains the winner of these auditions. A voice named Yun Zhu, identified in the system as M191.
Yes.
The author was actually already utilizing this voice for their character, but they put it through the rigorous test anyway,
Yes.
and Yunzu's emotional elasticity was incredible.
It really was.
The gentle prompt was soft and careful, but the sad prompt sounded genuinely hurt. So I guess the latent space for that specific model clearly contained the heavy textural grief the author was looking for. He won the role.
He absolutely did. It really demonstrates that finding the right AI voice is as much an art as it is a science. You know, you are searching for the specific neural network that has the acoustic vocabulary necessary for your narrative needs.
Okay, but relying on stock voices, even really great ones like Yunzu,
Yeah.
is limiting. What if you are building an application and you need a custom cloned voice for a highly specific character?
Right, that's the dream.
Yeah, but this is where the narrative of this field note gets really interesting, because the official software documentation basically puts up a massive stop sign.
It does. The Dubao documentation explicitly stated that the context text's emotion control mechanism only functions on their stock two-point of voices.
So no custom voices.
Right. If a developer uploads a custom 10 to 30 second audio sample to clone a new voice, the manual strongly implies that emotional steering is completely disabled. You get the tone of the cloned voice, but it will read the text flatly.
That is so frustrating. You
Yeah.
finally get the perfect custom voice and it's trapped sounding like a robot.
Extremely frustrating.
But instead of accepting that, the author completely ignored the manual.
I love that.
Right. They set up an experiment with four different testing conditions for a cloned voice using the same input text.
And they were very thorough. First, a pure baseline, no emotion control, just the raw cloned voice.
Yep.
Second, they activated the context texts field with an emotion hint using the standard computational resource. Third, they used the context text but paired it with an upgraded, heavier Seed Text 2.0 expressive model.
Okay, getting fancy.
Exactly. And finally, they even tested an older 1.1 system resource just to cover all their bases.
And the discovery from this trial directly contradicts the official manual. The author found that emotion control completely works on cloned voices.
It's
The
amazing.
jump from the flat baseline to the version with the context texts enabled was instantly audible. The cloned voice was actively altering its pitch and pacing in response to the emotional prompt.
But wait, I have to
Wow.
ask. If this feature functions that well and obviously adds massive value to the product by letting cloned voices express emotion, why on earth wouldn't the developers at Dubao put it in the manual?
Right.
Are they hiding it behind a beta testing wall to charge for it later, or is it possible they just don't actually know the full limits of their own technology?
That is the big question. and it exposes a fascinating reality about modern AI infrastructure. It is highly likely they don't fully understand the edges of the model.
Really?
Yeah, these language and audio generation models are so staggeringly complex, and their capabilities evolve so rapidly that the engineering teams often can't keep up. What the author discovered is likely an emergent capability.
Meaning the system learned how to do it on its own.
Essentially, yes. As models get larger and process more training data, features emerge as a byproduct of the overarching architecture before the engineers have specifically designed or verified them for commercial release.
That is wild.
It is. The underlying framework understood how to map emotional variance to a voice profile, and it seamlessly applied that logic to the newly cloned profile. The company likely leads it out of the manual simply because they haven't run enough internal stress tests to guarantee it works flawlessly 100% of the time.
That makes a lot of sense. They don't want to promise a feature that might break under weird edge cases.
Exactly.
But it presents a huge lesson for anyone building in this space. Mm-hmm. In cutting-edge technology, empirical testing beats official manuals every single time.
100%.
If you want to know the true limits of an AI, you cannot rely on the README file. You have to build the experiment and probe the boundaries of the black box yourself.
So the author successfully proved they could bend the rules and extract emotion from a custom voice.
Mm.
But sounding better is a subjective observation.
Right. It's just an opinion.
Yeah. And if you are an engineer writing a field note, you cannot just trust your ears. You need mathematical proof. How do you measure a vibe?
You know? Quantify it.
Right. And that leads us straight into experiment 3, the data matrix.
Which is where things get really rigorous. To move from anecdotal observation to systematic proof, the author constructed an 18-sample matrix.
Okay. Break that down for us.
They selected two voices. Suru, a female voice, and Yinan, a male voice. Then they defined three distinct emotional states to test. An ASMR-style intimate whisper, a gentle voice, and a sad voice.
Got it.
Finally, they ran those permutations through three technical conditions. The baseline, the context text alone, and the context text paired with the advanced SeedNAIDS 2.0 expressive model.
Okay, so two voices multiplied by three emotions multiplied by three conditions. That gives us the 18 distinct audio samples.
That's correct.
And analyzing that data is where the abstract concept of emotion becomes incredibly concrete. They found that merely adding the text hint made a noticeable difference. But when they layered in that SeedNAIDS 2.0 expressive model, the math shifted dramatically.
Oh, completely.
The author measured roughly 26% more audio variation compared to using the text hints alone.
And when we discuss audio variation in a text-to-speech context, we are looking at the mechanical distortion of the audio waveform.
Right.
A standard text-to-speech system generates a relatively flat sequence of phonetic sounds, but an expressive model calculates the emotional weight of each syllable on the fly. That 26% increase translates to microfluctuations in pitch frequency, the stretching or compressing of the pacing between words, and the introduction of slight hesitations.
Wow.
It is the mathematical representation of adding a soul to the sound.
I think the best way to visualize that 26% variation for you listening is to think about television displays. Here's where it gets really interesting. Adding that expressive model is like upgrading your TV from standard color to high dynamic range or HDR.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
Right. Before the upgrade, the picture was fine. You could see what was happening. Mm. But with HDR, the algorithm expands the contrast. Mm-hmm. The darks get remarkably darker. The brights get blindingly bright. The visual texture becomes deeper.
Yeah.
This expressive model is doing the exact same thing to the audio frequencies. It expands the dynamic range of the performance.
That captures the mechanism perfectly. You are widening the permissible parameters of the output. However, the 18-sample matrix also uncovered a significant operational limitation.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it revealed a stark asymmetry in how different AI voices handled different emotions.
Yeah, the data showed a really weird double standard between the two test subjects. The female voice, Suru, pulled off the heartbreak perfectly when prompted to be sad. It was a devastatingly effective output.
Truly.
But when she was prompted to do the ASMR whisper, the result was incredibly weak. It barely registered any differently than her standard gentle voice.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, the male voice, Yinan, experienced the exact opposite phenomenon.
Right. Yinan's ASMR output was convincingly intimate. The model perfectly captured the proximity effect of a whisper. But his sad prompt failed to hit the emotional depths that Suru achieved. It remained relatively flat.
So why does this double standard exist? If they're both running on the same underlying software architecture, shouldn't they have the same emotional bandwidth?
You'd think so, but it ties directly back to our earlier discussion on latent space and training biases.
Ah, oh, right.
AI models, much like human beings, possess uneven emotional ranges. The dataset used to construct Suru likely contained massive amounts of highly dramatic, emotionally volatile audio, but perhaps lacked close mic ASMR recordings.
That makes sense.
And Yinan's dataset was likely the inverse. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it highlights a critical rule for developers. You cannot assume that an AI that is brilliant at whispering intimately will also be a savant at crying.
Right, they have specialties.
Exactly. They possess specialized strengths based purely on their acoustic diets. You must validate the model against your exact use case.
Okay, so we have the casting figured out. We've established that empirical testing bypasses documentation limits. We have the mathematical proof of the best expressive model to use.
Yep, all the pieces are there.
But here's the most fascinating twist of this entire deep dive. None of this, not the voice, the model, the data, none of it actually matters without the final secret weapon the author discovered in the last stage of their testing.
The breakthrough in prompt engineering that fundamentally changed how they interacted with the system.
Yes. Initially, the author took the path of least resistance. They went into the context field and typed a single word to tag the metadata. They literally just typed sad.
And the resulting audio was incredibly flat.
Very flat. It was slightly downbeat, sure, but it mostly hovered around the baseline. The author actually noted they almost abandoned the experiment, thinking this emotion control feature was just marketing hype.
And mathematically, typing a single word like sad is the worst way to extract the specific result from a neural network.
Why is that?
Because an abstract category doesn't give the model specific acoustic parameters to target. The system essentially queries its entire database for everything labeled sad and averages it out.
Oh, I see.
And the statistical average of millions of different sad data points is usually a very boring, middle-of-the-road gray.
But then the author had a realization. They completely rewrote the prompt. They stopped tagging an emotion and started describing a physical action.
Which is brilliant.
They typed, use a crying voice, speak while crying, very sad, voice trembling with sobs caught in the throat.
The difference in the output was monumental.
Night and day. By swapping a single abstract word for deep physical detail, the audio transformed from a robotic pause to genuine, gut-wrenching heartbreak. The author cracked the code for production-grade AI emotion, and they distilled it down to a highly repeatable formula.
Verb plus physical description plus scenario.
Exactly. We need to look closely at how large language models parse that specific instruction. Because the AI does not know what sadness feels like, right?
Right. It has no internal emotional state. But when the author types voice trembling, the language model tokenizes those words and maps them to specific hertz fluctuations in its acoustic database.
It's mapping text to sound frequencies.
Yes. When it reads sobs caught in the throat, it maps those tokens to the acoustic microfeatures of sharp breath intakes and vocal fry that were tagged similarly during the model's training phase.
The author provides some incredible examples of this mapping in the source text. They point out that you shouldn't just type happy. The model doesn't know what that is. Instead, you type pitch rising like talking to a boyfriend.
Wow.
Right. Don't type calm. Type surface flat but full of care, like an older man giving advice.
She's just so specific.
Don't type angry. Type voice raised, extremely dissatisfied, scolding.
Yeah.
You're feeding the system the exact physical and relational mechanics it needs to mimic.
The highest leverage point in this entire complex engineering experiment wasn't a line of Python code. It wasn't tweaking an API parameter or selecting a specific model version. It was the human user's ability to paint a vivid scene using language. The AI responds to physical descriptions, not abstract categories. It requires stage directions.
So what does this all mean for you listening? It means interacting with AI at this level is no longer about programming. It's about directing.
That's a great way to put it.
You aren't just tagging a file with metadata anymore. You are stepping into the role of a movie director, giving physical blocking and motivation to a digital actor. If you don't paint the scene for them, they have nothing to translate into sound.
In many ways, this democratizes the engineering process. The person who extracts the most compelling, realistic result out of a text-to-speech engine isn't necessarily the software engineer who understands the calculus behind the neural network.
Yeah.
It's the writer. It's the director. It's the person who understands human behavior deeply enough to articulate what a sob caught in the throat actually looks and sounds like.
Which is an incredibly empowering realization, but also, you know, a slightly haunting one. And it brings us to the core takeaways of this deep dive. Whether you are building a consumer software product, experimenting with AI voice generation yourself, or simply trying to understand the invisible technology that is rapidly saturating the content you consume, the lessons from this field note are vital.
First, always audition the AI. Assume nothing about its emotional bandwidth until you hear it perform the specific acoustic task you require.
Yep.
Second, do not blindly trust official documentation as absolute law. The technology is evolving far too fast for the manuals to remain completely accurate. You have to test the edges of the software yourself to find those emergent capabilities.
And finally, when you are trying to pull humanity out of a machine, remember to paint a scene. Don't just name a feeling. Direct a physical performance. Use the formula, verb, physical description, scenario. Your ability to describe human nature is your ultimate secret weapon.
It completely reframes our interaction with these digital tools. The AI is essentially a mirror. We must provide the precise details of humanity in the text prompt for the system to reflect it back to us in the audio.
And the power of that reflection. Well, it brings me right back to where we started today, to that moment of scrolling through your feed and physically freezing because you hear a voice that sounds utterly destroyed.
Yeah.
This entire exploration raises an important question that you should keep in mind long after this deep dive ends.
I'm curious what you think that is.
Well, if an artificial intelligence can perfectly simulate human heartbreak, like making us feel genuine, protective empathy, and actual physiological sadness, simply because a developer sat at a keyboard and typed voice trembling with sobs caught in the throat.
Right.
What does that mean for the future of our own emotional vulnerabilities? If the AI doesn't actually feel a single thing, but our human hearts react exactly as if it does, who is really being programmed?
Yeah.
Think about that next time you stop scrolling.